Somebody had made a statement the other day about it was had something to do with you know, him paying it by his bruises. Now, his bruises did a lot, but the payment was by the blood.
Amen.
Because he could have been beat, he could have been bruised, but if he didn't give his blood, there would be no remission.
Amen.
That's where it's at. And, you know, for a long time, people have tried to do, you know, they call it a, you know, bloody religion, and they try to use language like that, but without the blood, there is no remission.
Amen.
There is no forgiveness. It took the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Being shed. Not spilled. When you spill something, that's an accident. He gave it willingly. He shed his blood, took it into the third heaven, and sprinkled it upon the mercy seat of God as our great high priest.
Amen.
And God is forever satisfied. Forever satisfied. Amen. That's all he's satisfied with, is the blood of his son. Amen. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter number 7. Romans chapter number 7. While you're turning there, I want to give you just a few words before we read. But in Romans chapter number 7, a lot has been said through the years, and great commentaries, no doubt, have been written. What we find in Romans chapter 7, and I'm thankful to the God above for giving the Apostle Paul the revelation to write it, the liberty, and even the strength to write it, and to show the struggle of the two natures in the believer. There's a, for the believer, I say for the believer, those that are truly born again, saved, they have a spiritual man, an inward man. We'll see about him here in a little bit. But he still struggles with the natural. And in Romans 7, you see that picture more clearly probably than you do anywhere else in the Bible. The struggle with the natural. The struggle that we have. Now listen, I want to say this, and I'll probably say it again. Romans chapter 7, this is not supposed to be the whole of your Christian life, the whole experience. The stronger we become in the Lord, listen to me, the more you and I are yielded to the Holy Spirit, and the more we become obedient to Christ, the more victory over what we see in Romans chapter 7 do we have. Amen? It'll always be there as far as a temptation, a struggle. It'll always pop up its head. This body is not redeemed. We're waiting for that day.
Amen.
The redemption, the Bible calls it the redemption of our body. We're waiting for that day. Our soul and spirit has been redeemed, but our body has yet to be redeemed. And so we're waiting for that day. Therein is the struggle. Now, the Apostle Paul, in Romans chapter 7, you have to know that he gives this beautiful picture to start out with of a woman
that is bound to the law of her husband. He's talking, let me just give you mountain language. As a woman that has been married, she's married to this man. He is her husband, and she is bound to him until death. And then he explains to say, if that husband dies, if he be dead, then she is loosed and freed from that law. Everything that she had, the covenant, the vows, the subjection, whatever it was that she had with that husband, she is now free, completely free. And that is the example that Paul gives to us of the believer that was once married to the law, and now we need to reckon ourselves dead indeed unto the law and alive unto Christ, married to another man. And there's a lot still, again, said about this. But I'm talking about tonight, what I'm talking about tonight is the struggle, the carnal struggle of the believer. This fleshly struggle of the believer. He says, let me just pick up in verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, now listen, the Bible tells us that we are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. See, now we have a spiritual man. We are a spiritual man. We've been saved. We have a new life. And so we have a new nature. We've been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. But look at what he said. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins. And that simply means the motions of sins. That's something undergone. Or they put it like this, the influence of it. The influence of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members, that's our body, to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. Now he begins to tell us that the believer, you know, our holiness does not come by the law. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. That's how he knew. I wouldn't have known stealing was wrong unless the law of God said that stealing is wrong. Lying. You wouldn't know it's wrong unless the law says. You see where, how the, so the law is what is the revealer of sin. We had not known sin but by the law. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. I had no law, no mind of the law. I didn't know I was a sinner. Sin was dead. I was a happy boy. I could do everything I wanted to do, just didn't seem guilty. For I was alive without the law once. That was you and me. We were alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. When you heard preaching, thou shalt not, or thou shalt, and we heard the law of God, then I realized my sin. Sin revived. It became real. It came to life. And I died. I was condemned. Condemnation unto death. You and I. That's what the sinner feels. Condemnation unto death and hell. Why? Because the law of God reveals to him he's a sinner. He's broken the law of God. Okay, so now he says, and the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. God said, do these things, you live. But we couldn't do them. So instead of bringing life, it brought death. Because if you offend in one point, you're guilty of all. And sin's got to be paid for. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Remember that. Wherefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy. Holy and just and good. Now the rest of the chapter, we're going to look at that commandment. That law. That which is what? Good. Good. He said the commandment is holy, just, and good. Now, so God lets us know right here in verse 12. I'm starting the message now. I want you to see some things in here. I'm talking about the struggle that you and I face. And God, listen, God intends for us that are believers to have victory. The only way we can have victory is to understand what we face. Amen? And the only way a person can be saved, they have to see they're a sinner. Where is this guilt coming from? Where is this condemnation that I feel? It's the law of God revealing to you your need of a sacrifice. Your need to get your sin washed away. And that's the gospel. The only way you can find to get your sin washed away is by the blood of Jesus Christ that already bled and died for it. So, he tells us here, in verse 12, the law is holy and sacred and pure. Amen? And the commandment, holy. That's sacred. It's pure and just, which means it's meet, it's right. Amen? Nobody can say God's commandments, that's not equal, that's not right. It is right. It's just. And it's good. It's a benefit, amen? Now, was then that which is good, what's that which is good, church? The commandment. The law. Every time herein he says that which is good, he's talking about here the law. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, but sin that it might appear sin, working death in me. by that which is good. You see, it was the law that was revealing. Listen, there was nothing wrong with the law. It's good. It was revealing the sin that's killing me. That's killing you. The wages of sin is death. And the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. That sin by the commandment, which is good, might become exceeding sinful. You see, God, when He speaks of His commandment, and He reveals sin, He doesn't want it to seem like patty cake. He wants you to know the full extent of what sin is. Sin must be judged. Sin must be paid for. And sin brings forth death. That's what sin. And the law is good to reveal that to us. Could you imagine going through life and never realizing you're a sinner? Never having God's word to show you your fallen state, your helplessness before God, your inability to keep the commandments of God to please Him? We can't. For we know that the law is spiritual. He said that. The law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Now, before I go on, I want to show you something. In verse number 10, when he said, "And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death." Now that life that it was ordained to, it's talking about a life above. Here's what one writer said: the act of genuine neighborly kindness. It goes far above that. It's above mere bodily, fleshly existence. Amen? We are driven above that. That's the life the commandment was ordained to life. Not just here, but to life, that eternal life. So that's what you and I get in Christ, is that life that is above. That life that the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. We might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He gives us life, not just this life, a neighborly life, but life above. Jesus said, "I've come that they might have life, have it more abundantly." Now, the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. Our spiritual man knows the law is spiritual. Your spiritual man will love the law of God. Why? Because it's spiritual. It is spiritual and the law is spiritual. Everyone that's saved has a love for the Word of God, for the commands of God. Amen. It's a law written in our heart. God made it a part of us. Amen. That's that spiritual man that's on the inside of you and I. He lives by that. But he lives by more than just that. He said, "But I'm carnal." Paul was talking about his that fleshly condition, sold under sin. That's that old man that we still deal with. He is carnal, sold under sin. He cannot do anything but sin. That's your fleshly man. He can't do anything but sin. That's all he wants to do. He's carnal. There's nothing spiritual about him. He's carnal. And so Paul goes to give us an example. For that which I do, I allow not. For that I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Now let me show you something about the spiritual man right here, the saved man. There's some things you hate. That you may yield to in the flesh, you hate it. You don't like it. A saved person just is not going to like it. They hate it. That's what Paul said. That which I hate it. Amen? What I hate, but what I hate, that do I. He said, these things I find myself doing in the flesh, I hate it. That's his spiritual man saying that. Not his carnal man. His carnal man loves it. The things that he doesn't want to do, he finds himself doing, and he hates it. And the things that his spiritual man wants to do, his fleshly man will absolutely fight against. Your spiritual man wants to pray. He wants to call on God. He wants to be close to Christ. He wants to walk in the light of God. The carnal man's doing that the whole time. He loves darkness rather than light. He's going to fight you. The fleshly man. That's why we say you have to feed the spiritual man. You have to starve that fleshly man, because that fleshly man doesn't want you to get to God. Doesn't want you to read this word and find out it's like bread from heaven to your soul. It brings a spiritual strength to you, a heavenly strength to your soul. You realize you're a heavenly being that's dwelling on the earth, that's still contending with your flesh. You realize there's that's within you longs more to be with Christ than to be here, the flesh here. So there's some things the spiritual man, he hates. Amen. He hates. See, some things I hate. Verse 14, he called them carnal. That's that's pertaining to the flesh. Those things that pertain to the flesh, he hates them. That which is temporal, that's carnal. He hates them. That which is unregenerate, unchanged, he hates it. That's what carnal means. Things pertaining to the flesh, things temporal, things that are unregenerate. In verse 13, it's sin that he hates, the offense. A spiritual man, he hates the offense. He hates sin. He doesn't love it. He hates it. He knows his Lord died for it. His Lord had to suffer for it. The spiritual man hates sin. I have a problem with people that I'm not trying to be mean. They're constantly trying to find a way to attend to the flesh. Why in the world would a man take up for beer? That's a carnal thing. I'll tell you why. He's going after the carnal man. Spiritual man don't want that. Or dope. Oh, I know. Because see, I was unsaved at one time in my life. I had every argument in the book. Well, that's natural. God put that there. I mean, you can argue all day long. Amen. But that ain't going to make it spiritual. Ain't going to make it right. Why would a man that is spiritual, why would he adapt to the carnal? Why would he take up for it? Why would he long for it? Because he's not in the spiritual, he's in the carnal. In the carnal. But the spiritual man hates that's unregenerate, temporal, those things pertaining to the flesh, carnal things. Verse 18. Look what he said. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. In my flesh is no good thing. I've heard people say, well, I trust that boy to take my girl out. Are you kidding me? I don't trust the flesh as far as I can spit. You can't trust the flesh. You can't make provision for the flesh. The arm of the flesh, it will fail you every time. Amen? You have to guard against the flesh. You and I are to always guard against the flesh. But look what he said. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. No good thing. For to will is present with me. For to will is present with me. To will. In other words, to prefer the good. To be about. Remember when Jesus said, I must be about? He preferred his Father's will. I must be about. That's what that means. To will. For to will is present. For me to prefer the good, the spiritual, I have it. Of course he does. He's saved. He's a spiritual man. You have the will there with you. The preference is with you. The Holy Spirit saying, this is what you want. This is what you need. To will is present. It's at hand. It's near. You listen to me? It's a choice. The will is a choice. Do the will of God, will the flesh. He said to will is present, but how to perform? How to perform? That temptation, that sin comes. He said to will. To do the right thing, it's there. But how to perform, how to fully work, how to accomplish that which is good, how to make it to the finish line through that, how to fashion it or how to work it out. He said, I find not. How to perform that which is good, I find not. Why couldn't Paul find it? Well, look. That is, my flesh dwelleth no good thing. In my flesh, there's no command of God, no law of God. That's in the spiritual man. You think my flesh is going to say, hey, God don't like this? Not my flesh. God doesn't want this. Not my flesh. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. There's no command of God in my flesh. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, the law of God. How to perform the command of God, I don't know how. For the good, the command of God, that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that do I. There is the struggle right there in the believer. And that is in his flesh. That's not the spiritual man right here. Not in this part. Because the spiritual man knows the command of God. And I'll show you that here in a little bit. He knows the command of God. He knows the will of God. And he can perform the command of God. But the flesh, if you're trying to let the flesh make the decision, determine which way to go, he will fail you every time. There's nothing good in him. He doesn't know how to perform that which is good. He knows how to perform the evil. Now, if I do that, I would not. In other words, if I wind up doing what I don't want to do, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. That sin nature. See, Paul is now seeing he has a spiritual man and he still has a sin nature. And the two are not connected. The spiritual man has been circumcised away from the flesh. That's why he said in little John, I think it's 1 John 2, it may be 1 John 5, that his seed is within us. Therefore, he cannot sin. Talking about the spiritual man that's inside. He cannot sin because his seed, the very seed of Christ, the very law of God is within us, the Holy Spirit within us. Sin that dwelleth in me, that sin nature that's causing me to do that which I don't want to do. It's that sin nature. I'm going to tell you what, that sin nature can be strong. I mean, he can be very strong. He will pull at you, and your spirit man calling out to you, herein is the way, walk in it. But if you listen to that carnal man, if you give place to the carnal man, if you go ahead and whatever that it is, the temptation, if you start heading in that direction, you're gone. Don't take one step in that direction. What do I do, preacher? Go to the spiritual man. What's he going to do? Abba, Father! He's going to call on God. He's going to bring out the Word of God. He's going to remind you. He's going to fill you with strength, strengthening us with might in the inner man. The Bible speaks of. I love that verse. Because he can, as much as there's a strong pull to the flesh, there can be an even stronger pull to the spiritual man. You may not believe this, but it's the truth. I remember as a young preacher, I used to love rock and roll. Heavy metal music is my favorite. Back in the 80s. And I mean, not just your average Joe. I mean, we loved our music now. And but after God saved me, I realized how wicked all that was. All of it was. And after God called me to preach, I realized I couldn't. Ain't no way I could be saved and called to preach and going down the road listening to music like that. Or even country. Stealing Bobby's girl, meet them in the back of the barn. Are you listening to me? I mean, that. Let's go get us a beer and talk of old times. I mean, that ain't spiritual. Well, not all of it's about all that. Well, it sure ain't about God. And what they do right about God, they've got wrong. Amen. It's the carnal man trying to feel a little religious is all a lot of that. Amen. Some of that is. And I'll tell you, whatsoever's not of faith is sin. It's not of faith. But I remember having a job over at the Lee Company. And I worked two big Colemak presses. That's what they called them. These big machines that stood, I mean, real high and wide. And they would get hot. I'm talking several hundred degrees hot. Because we'd get these, I mean, just wrinkled blue jeans. They'd come out of the washers and the dryers and stuff. I mean, wrinkled. And they had to have something to get that. And them machines, when you hooked them waistbands up, I'll never forget just exactly how you grabbed them jeans, hooked that waistband up. You had to hold your jeans, throw your thumbs out like that, and hit two buttons at the same time on both sides. It expanded that waist. Then you had to hook the legs just right so the crease would be right down the middle. Both legs around these hooks, and then hit the power button, then go to this machine. You work two machines simultaneously. When that one was take it down in, press it, you was over here. And they had big air conditioners blowing on us constantly on high because it was so hot around them two machines. You couldn't stand it. All day long. And that rock and roll playing across that Lee Company radio. It did it every day. And then they'd switch it and play some country. You know, for them that like country, and then back to the rock and roll in the afternoon. And I remember working them Colemak machines and praying while I was working and begging God, God, keep my mind on you. And I mean, you just blam, blam, blam. I mean, just a blaring. Did you know God helped me on many a days? My mind completely left the radio world. My mind was on God while I was doing that. And I was thinking about His Word. And I was singing Amazing Grace. And I had, honestly, I'm telling you honestly, no idea what was playing on the radio. God helped me to push it out. That's the spiritual man. Amen? That's God strengthening your spiritual man. You say, I just don't see how that could be physically possible. It may not be physically possible, but it spiritually is. God can do amazing things for the believer. Now, he said, I don't know how to perform it. That's that fleshly man. He said, verse 21, I find then a law. So he's coming to an understanding that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Anytime a believer goes to do good, evil is going to be present with you. just as much as this law of a man hating certain things, hating sin, hating the carnal. This man in verse 22, "For I delight in the law of God after the spiritual man." The inward man. That's the spiritual man. "I delight in the law of God after the inward man." That is the spiritual man. He delights in the law of God. Even though he goes to do good, evil is present. It matters not, because he delights to do the law of God. But I see another law in my members. That's in this flesh. Warring against the law of my mind. I see another law. Another. That's an altered. That's a strange or a different law. He said there's something else here. Warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. That is when the spiritual man gives over to the carnal mind. See, because you can be quoting God's word, you can be praying, and immediately get up and the devil say, "Boy, that thing I've been telling you about had really be good right about now." That carnal mind, he starts. You cannot, it's like a bird building a nest. You can't let it stay there. It's an altered law. I mean, listen, it's not, you're supposed to put on the mind of Christ, and now hear this another law. This carnal mind's still trying to rise up. And it's going to bring you into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Let me say this, I'm about done. That's what I was telling you earlier, church. That right there, what I just read to you, that's not victory. Bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Wait, the Bible tells me as a spiritual man for me to bring those things into captivity. Casting down every imagination of evil. It's either going to get you or you're going to get it. That's the warfare. That's the warfare. And he says, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Every believer, listen, your flesh is a wretched man. We learn something in Romans chapter 7. We have our present state and we have our position. You need to remember as a child of God that you, your spiritual man, you as a saved being, you are not a wretched man. Your flesh is a wretched man. And that's how the devil discourages God's people, because he tries to make you think that's the whole of your spiritual life. Well, that wasn't even my spiritual man that sinned. It's the carnal man that did it. You can't make excuses. You get, "Well, I sinned. That was my carnal man. That was this other guy." You have to learn to overcoming. The Bible speaks of our overcoming. Our overcoming. having victory. Having victory. You and I will have this type of struggle until we learn how to gain victory over each of those situations. There's a law of sin. But that which is good, that law of God, is there. I delight in the law of God. I delight in that good after the inward man. The saved man, he wants to do the good. He wants to do the good. This old wretched man, he's the body of this death. And he in verse 25 said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. That's the spiritual mind. But with the flesh, the law of sin. He had to realize his spiritual man is not the sinner. And I'm not talking about center, C-E-N-T-E-R. I said sinner. He's not the sinner, S-I-N-N-E-R. Your spiritual man is not the sinner. He's saint. He's beloved. He's a child of God. Sons of God. Daughters of God. Amen. That's the spiritual man. Learn how to perform. You and I will have that struggle of how to perform. How do I perform? Well, I hate some things. You've got to absolutely hate them. I've already said it. You've got to absolutely hate them to overcome them. Learn to hate them. Learn who is present. Learn the way of escape is present. God said there is no temptation taking you such as is common to man. I will with that temptation also make a way of escape. No temptation you'll face, but what God will give you an escape route by the spiritual man. Amen. Wow, I didn't even realize what time it was. I've kept you. I hope something tonight has been said to be a help to you. Listen, if you're here tonight and you're lost, you're never going to be able to have victory over the flesh. Because you're a carnal man, carnal woman. Being saved, God makes that spiritual person alive unto God. Therein you have victory. Victory. You can overcome by the blood of the Lamb. By the word of your testimony. In Revelations, and they loved not their lives, and that they hated some things. I want you to stand. I'm done. I want to give a verse of invitation.